Hello, folks, and welcome back to Curses and Crossroads Season 2. Here we are with another story and adventure. Now, I know that at the end of Season 1 we said we were going to play Hollow Earth Expedition as our Season 2 storyline, but, well, some overexcited sharing of a future Monster of the Week campaign that I was hoping to run in Season 3 kind of ended up being voted in as our second season, so, ta-da! Here we are! But not to worry, Hollow Earth will make its appearance in the future. Before we jump into the episode, I felt like it was important, as the keeper of this season, to talk about a few things. Firstly, as storytellers from different minoritized groups, our cast and crew believe in the importance of solidarity and community when it comes to the stories we tell. And those stories sometimes include the narratives of people who may not share our same identities. It is our job to take the feedback of the communities and listeners to protect our spaces and make those spaces safe and comfortable for everyone who needs and engages with them. The following narrative takes place in the 1980s, which has many historical, social, and political issues, and for the purpose of our story, this fictionalized world has made the impacts of those harmful actions less of a forefront for our player characters and NPCs, and the exploration of some of those topics will often occur off-mic between the players and myself. This includes the safety mechanisms of checking in at our table to ensure that everyone is feeling safe and secure in what is happening in the narrative. This world is inclusive, accepting, honest, and loving, and we want to recognize the real-world history without it causing further harm to other minoritized communities. With that being said, we would also like to offer up our own land acknowledgement for the area of the world which we'll be fictionalizing. The following story takes place in the Rocky Mountain National Park region of Colorado. The Northern Ute, the Northern Arapaho, as well as the Cheyenne, Apache, and Shoshone people remain and should always be recognized as the original stewards of the land that the United States took. Please spend time learning about the native lands that you reside upon by visiting native-land.ca and support BIPOC causes and organizations. Lastly, I wanted to make a note about the types of folklore that we will be drawing upon for the purpose of this season. We chose to draw from cultures that each of our cast members has heritage in, and are actively working to ensure that any other cultures, mythologies, and histories we engage with are treated with the utmost respect. While we will be facing a variety of original, fictionalized beings, we will also be utilizing stories inspired by Welsh, Irish, English, Norse, Italian, Greek, and Mexican folklore. These are stories that our various cast members have been raised with, that we hope to explore in new and exciting ways, and we are grateful to have you exploring with us. Now, I know that was a lot, but it was important. So, without further ado, we will see you on the road, and welcome to Curses and Crossroads, Obsidian.
Hello, friends!
Welcome back for Curses and Crossroads, and today we start Season 2.
Woo!
They continued us.
We continued ourselves.
Actually, 5 minutes ago, we almost got kicked out.
You're right.
That's
you're right.
True.
We almost have it.
Fortunately, I am still in control, so we're doing cyberpunk, everything.
And if you're a long-term listener, you know that Garrett has never once had control over this.
You're right.
As the DM, we have streamlined him into letting us have girlfriends on the side, have little bakery episodes, and one-time kiss God. It was great.
That's true.
When did that happen?
Most of that happened at the same time.
When did that happen?
You didn't kiss the dear God.
No!
I literally wrote a fan fiction about that just so I could say dear God.
He was an elk?
Yeah, first of all.
Sorry, Elk God doesn't sound as fun as Deer God. A very beautiful song. When did it come out?
What?
Dear God, it's a song.
As you can tell, we are on the bullshit today.
What do you mean, dear God?
Wait.
Do you mean our love is God?
No.
Heathers?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't associate that with Kelly.
I wish I was Heather.
Damn, which one?
See, I say that too. I say that too.
Because there are two incorrect choices.
You guys, it's false. I'm a fake. I've never seen Heathers.
That's
okay.
That's fine.
There's enough theater major, like theater kids at this table to have seen it for you.
Okay.
I have not seen it before.
Okay, but when did it come out?
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm learning so much about this that I didn't want to know. When did it? God damn it! It came out in 86.
Everything better happens after 4.
Dear God, the song that I'm referencing. Oh. And hey, God damn it, you guys know this song.
Hey Jackie, why is it important that things are pre or post 1986?
Because... reasons.
See,
all right, let's let Jackie do her.
Wait, DVD. I'm playing a music clip. No.
No!
You can't!
We can't play that.
Copyright!
Only if it was like less than 15 seconds.
And that's not enough.
Anyway, you all know the song. Jackie, insert the audio clip here because I'm going to show it to you is done and you're going to have your mind blown.
He's not allowed to just give you audio to splice in. He's not editing the podcast.
I'm not.
Especially because somebody likes to do god awful ASMR.
What do you mean there's consequences for my actions?
Yes!
So you know what that means.
All I'm going to add to this is I picked the most quiet activity I could do while playing D&D for Jackie's sake.
Is told his bad ASMR is why he doesn't get fun cut-ins. Immediately slurps into the microphone.
It means that I'll have fun where I can take it. If I don't get my ASMR, then I'll take the song clip. If I don't get the song clip, I'll take the ASMR. Very beautiful.
Very
smooth.
Thank you.
Okay. Bringing us back.
I'll stop.
So, we are playing a second round of Monster of the Week. But this time it's going to be a little bit different than season one. We're set in one tiny single place. So, without further ado, is everybody at the table ready to get going? Yes. What?
I was just going to say, but it's not the same because things are different. But I'm assuming we're going
to
say
we're
that in a couple seconds.
Out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be different.
Sorry, audience members. You get to be in suspense a little longer.
Okay. High in the Rocky Mountains, off the long beaten trails, breathes a living ghost town. Flanked on one side by the Department of the Interior, the other by abandoned silver mines and unmarked graves. The spirit of this town, both literal and not, holds esteem for a heritage of hardship and perseverance. Tourists and the last original silver mine of the region keep the coal-black heart beating just loud enough to know it's alive. As darkness settles upon the valley floor, a pair of headlights catch the worn wood and silver-painted sign. Win athon sifnos haid iwar, it reads. Or in fire, dusk to dawn. Welcome to Obsidian Lake.
Ooh.
Slurp.
So our fictional town is set in Colorado.
Yeah.
In the left side or the western side of the Rocky Mountains. So in a way, this is kind of a lot like a lot of the old silver mines, like Telluride, like Ouray, like
Silverton.
The wonderful Silverton.
Oh yeah.
But we're north compared to where those are southern. Our scene opens on the evening before December 26, 1983. The headlights we see are being drove by one and only the character that is being played by Jaylee. So Jet, if you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about your character.
Okay, so my character, I'm going to preface this as I am a time traveler and I was born in the year 2020. I want to give you that, so when you hear my name, it'll be funny. My name is Corona Pandemic.
God, I hope it doesn't get worse. Imagine if it gets worse.
We're stuck
months.
With that name.
You know, I'm going to live with my mistakes. So here we are. I actually, during my lifetime growing up, I was really... hated my name because obviously who names their kid Corona Pandemic?
I named my son Bubonic Plague.
So most people call me KP or Mick. And I am traveling back from the year 2041 to stop the end of the world, because in whatever happens in 2041, and that will develop as the storyline goes on, I need to come back to Obsidian Lake in 1980 to stop something, so something won't happen in 2041. Still figuring that out. Was there anything else particularly about my character?
What class are you playing?
Oh, I'm playing the Chosen. Sorry. But yeah, I think that's like the basics of my character.
Awesome.
We'll find out more later.
So is your character 41?
My character is 21, because I traveled back from 2041 at 21 mm-hmm. years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Corona Pandemic KP Mick.
Pandemic.
Pandemic.
And Corona spelled with a K. That's why it's KP. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. so our listeners are aware.
So
our chosen folks.
So as Corona, or KP, is driving into town, she pulls into the one and only place to stay. You pull into the bed and breakfast where you called ahead probably about 6 hours ago when you ended up in Denver. That's how you got a rental car. It's how you knew where you needed to go. You pull into the darkened front of the Silver Creek Diner in bed and breakfast and see the no vacancy sign is lit. You have a room. You're ready to go. As the night closes off on this wonderful 25th of December, we switch gears. Who would like to go next?
Oh no.
Haha, you've been nominated.
I've been pointed at. I'll go.
Yes.
Got him.
That's right, we get some plays.
Dastardly.
You already knew this. Listener.
Listeners, that's the fun surprise. Jackie's the DM.
I get to play! I never get to play!
Always the DM, never the player.
Sad.
All right.
I'm ready.
So, the camera pans across town. Do you live in a house or do you live at the Lakeside Apartments?
I think, because it's a small town, is it a town that was, like, established in... cowboy times?
Yeah, so the year that Obsidian Lake was established was 1860.
Perfect. Okay, so do the Main Street buildings have the weird, like, upper floor apartments?
Yes.
Cool, so that's where I live.
Okay. Lives above your shop. So, the camera pans to the shop. Looks nice, comic and rocks.
G-N-E-I-S-S! Like metamorphic granite! Get it!
And we see the sun begin to rise. Tell us about your character, Garrett. What does the early morning look like for Mr. William Bill Diggins?
Bill gets up at a crisp 12:15
a.m.
No.
Okay. p.m. Okay.
Crisp in the sarcastic way.
Wait a second.
Grabs one of his many fantasy novels, makes a pot of coffee, and then hops in the shower and very quickly sprints downstairs to open the store. And then just chills there, reading probably Lord of the Rings again. Just chilling in his comic shop.
So tell us about what class he is.
Bill, as you can tell by my excellent description, is a flake, which is like a conspiracy theorist, but he's right. That's the bit.
That's the thing.
That's the best part about this class, is that he's like, nah, dude, I know. I've seen the little green men, dude. It's real, but he's right. He did see the little green men. It's the best.
I know you were referring to aliens, but I immediately thought of a goblin.
So
yeah, I also, yes,
right.
I was instantly like, Tommyknockers? Hello? Mm.
Tommyknockers,
dude. It's going to be Tommyknockers. It's gonna be
it's
kobolds,
always
but the conference. American Gods kind of kobolds where it's like fucked up. Mm. For sure.
Nice. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we know that Bill likes to wake up later in the afternoon, but maybe a little bit earlier in the day, we pan back across town to the residence of K.T. Bridgeburn, one of the town's original families, and we meet our next character. Kelly, would you like to introduce who you are playing?
Sure. I am playing Sydney Stiles. She is the granddaughter of K.T. Bridgeburn, and she's a ripe 17-year-old who's out looking for life, and her best friend is her grandpa. And So that's kind of what's happening. She hangs out in their big, awesome house full of relics because her grandpa's an awesome dude. And then suffers through high school, has limited friends, and likes to spend most of her days getting into trouble and investigating minds that she should not be investigating.
And what class is Sydney?
She's a mundane.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So what does her morning look like?
Begrudgingly wakes up at 7 a.m., goes to school, eats breakfast, comes home, spends most of her afternoon with her grandpa, if possible, studying or helping him whatever he needs to help with. And then late at night, she likes to go and look at the supernatural elements of the town because she thinks that she is at Zach Baggins.
Like, I'm the chosen.
Yeah, she takes her little baseball bat out with her, and she drives her junky car into the darkness and thinks she has life handled.
That's awesome.
She does. I love her. Sydney has it put together.
So we see this opening scene with Sydney, and you hear a knock at your bedroom door. It's a ripe 8:30 in the morning on this Saturday after Christmas. What do you do when you hear a knock?
Hi, Grandpa.
Sydney, are you up and ready to go?
Where are we going?
It's Saturday. We gotta go down to the diner. Where else do you think we're going?
Then I am not ready.
Come on. You know Elias has those lemon ginger crepes. I can't wait to get my hands on them. It's our tradition.
Don't you dare tempt me with ginger crepes. I'm sleeping in today. I have nothing else to do. And okay, I'm getting ready. I'm putting pants on.
The car's warmed up. I'll meet you outside.
Okay.
And the scene closes and pans across town to our last character. So Jovan, tell us about where you live. What is your character doing this morning?
Hello, everyone. So Henry Smith has not slept last night. However, that's less of a bad thing for him because he's a monstrous. Henry Smith is a monstrous. He is a ghost. And he appears to be 24 years old, just like kind of bespectacled nerd that you see at an office building, except he works at the fire department. And he has just it's about 6 o'clock and he has coffee ready and is just making pancakes and eggs for the other firemen. And they're all like, how are you awake? And he's like, oh, you know, energy.
Awesome.
He's vibing and jazzing with the times. I need to look up the cheat.
And drinking is legal again.
That'll make more sense a little bit later. So as Henry is whipping up breakfast in the break room.
There's no way they haven't put that together. I trust our audience. They've clicked that. They understand.
One point I think I forgot that I wanted to add about my character was the fact that I chose to travel from the future is like, because I'm really not great with 80s slang. So my character's premise is I'm trying so hard to be 80s that it's bad.
Which in a weird way is a commentary on what the rest of us are going to do.
The irony.
It's one of those meta jokes, you know. The people on Reddit are going to have a hating.
So as this final scene looks in, we see the firehouse break room where a lot of the volunteer firefighters of our sweet little town reside. And in all honesty, there's only two main staff in our fire department, and that is Henry Smith and Fire Chief Jody Reyes. And Jody comes in and she brushes a piece of her hair out of her face. She has those lovely long Farrah Fawcett curls and bright green eyes. And she leans over and pours herself a cup of coffee and goes, I've got a bad feeling about today, Henry. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's going to be good.
Bodacious. Sorry, I'm looking up.
Just looked over with all seriousness. Bodacious. Jody's like, you're on the crack again. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Jody's secretly not a ghost. He's just on crack.
He's so late. It's just like, no one can touch me. I'm a ghost. With cowabunga.
Cowabunga.
Sometimes you
gotta
say, this is good.
No, but the,
you
sorry.
Should probably look up 1920s slang.
Look up the 30s.
Oh my god. He would like, yeah, no, he's
bees
top of the morning. No,
he's a little southern. That was that one. You did that to me. No, he's a he tries to be a little subtle about not being entirely human, but in the like when he's like, ah, I remember the Great War, and everyone's like, yeah, yeah, my grandpa fought in that, and he's like, yes. And then he just drinks some coffee and like, okay, Henry.
So that's one of the cool things about Henry is that in town, everybody just kind of believes that Henry is this really big history buff. And when he makes these offhanded comments, everybody's like, ha, Henry.
Ah, Henry. He's like, I once saw the Titanic. Like, it's a bit early for cocaine, isn't it, Henry?
I was there when they set her off.
Bogus that you're saying that right now. Sorry, so I've derailed us. That was not my intent. I just wanted funny audio, but put that in the blooper reel.
That's going in the blooper reel for sure.
Hey, whatever happened to the Taylor Swift line? Did I make it in the podcast, or did you really edit out the, I don't know about you, but I think
it's no, it's in the podcast.
I think I left that one in.
Shailen punched me when that happened.
Good!
And leave, like, most of our funny quips in the show, but sometimes we get so far off.
Oh, for sure.
That we have to do, like, a hard cut back to the story, and I just cut, like, 30 minutes of audio sometimes.
Sure.
But, no, he looks over at Judy as he's, like, washing the dishes, and he's like,
Jody,
not Judy. He looks over at Jody, and he's like, well, we do what we'll always do. Try to survive.
I don't know, Henry. With all the stuff that's been going on in the mines, I've just got a bad feeling about today. Maybe it's me being superstitious, but something feels off. I can just feel it. So we cut back across town to the original place where we began, in the Bed and Breakfast, the Silver Creek Diner, owned by the wonderful townspeople of... It's owned by Elias and Carmen, an older couple that's been living in town for quite some time. Elias and Carmen have three children, Jay, who's 21, who helps run the diner, Michael, who's 16, and Luis, who's 19. All three boys usually help out in the kitchen, but as soon as their parents give them the clear, they are gone. It's in this place that we begin to see the characters come in. Despite the fact that the morning is going slowly and Bill is still asleep, we know that our late start is going to bring more than our players expected. What do you guys want to do? Where do you want to go? We're going to have the bridge burns at the diner.
Mm-hmm.
The doorbell rings as you enter in and you take your favorite seat in the diner. Where is that?
Wait. Can I be sitting in their favorite seat in the diner?
Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Unintentionally. Of course, I didn't know it was their favorite seat, and I decided
you're fucking
to sit
rude
there.
Is what you are, and you're going to pay.
No. Okay, so first tell me where your favorite seat is in the diner. Where do you and KT... By the way, KT stands for Casper Thomas. Like, that's his full name. Mm-hmm. So,
Casper.
So KT also and you, where do you guys usually sit when you come to the Silver Creek Diner?
Usually toward, like, the back booth that's, like, next to the window. Like, that's like halfway to the bathroom and halfway to the door. So we're kind of in the center of the diner.
Okay. Back center booth.
Because we usually can't get far without someone talking to him.
That's very, very true.
So we just meet at a halfway point usually.
Okay. So as the scene reopens, we see KT and Sydney coming into the diner as they do every single morning at right around 9 o'clock. Elias yells at you from the kitchen. Morning, KT. Morning, Sid. And he goes back to cooking. His wife turns to you with a smile, eyes bright, and hands you both a cup of coffee and a cup of Earl Grey, as is customary on these early mornings. And as you walk back to the back of the diner, you see something that is relatively out of place.
Gramps.
What?
Gramps.
What?
Don't look now.
But don't look where?
But actually look now.
Sydney, why are you telling me to look? Sydney, there's only five booths in this entire place. All right,
find the one we usually sit in.
There's a woman in a neon jumper.
Well, who's that back there?
No.
What?
No.
What?
No, this is a crime. That's our booth. You don't get to be friends to people who sit in our booth.
Sydney.
Gramps. Arrest you.
Sydney.
Gramps.
It's the day after Christmas.
So?
Maybe we should go introduce ourselves.
No.
Hell yes.
Sydney.
Fine, but you have to talk. I am not talking. I have taken a vow of silence. After high school is I'm like done. I don't speak to people. You speak to people. So you go over and you can talk and I will be the mute.
You got a lot of sleep last night, didn't you?
Over 8 hours for the first time.
12 hours.
KT kind of claps you on the back and shakes his head because despite the fact that he knows that this is who you are all of the time, he still just can't get over it. He loves that you were so frustrating. And he thinks it's the greatest thing because one of the funniest things about Obsidian Lake is that people know that you and KT are 100% related, but you act nothing like this wonderfully known Bridgeburn. And so it's no surprise that KT kind of smiles at you crookedly and walks towards the back of the diner with you relatively still in tow. Excuse me, young lady.
Oh, hi. What do you want? I'm very, very skeptical of everyone right now because I, once again, am not supposed to be here.
It's the 1980s, the time of serial killers. You can't trust them. This old man is going to ask you to help his car and you're going to get stabbed.
Hold on.
It also, I want to point out there, it's... 70s. What?
What?
The serial killer?
80s.
Mid-70s to like mid-80s.
85 was the start of great media and the end of serial killing.
Mm-hmm.
The days.
I'm still, because I'm very skeptical of people. Don't know how to act in the 80s. I know the theory of it. And I also want to point out the fact that it took me like 3 times longer to travel from Denver to this place because there wasn't Google or some form of Google for me to Google directions. So I was lost.
You were holding the map upside down.
So her being shady in the booth talking to my grandpa makes me even more skeptical of her. And so I just kind of like glare at her over my grandpa's shoulder. Just like suspicious. Stranger. Never been here.
Don't be suspicious.
KT can feel you glowering behind him, and he kind of shoots you a look over the shoulder like, be nice. It's the day after Christmas. And he turns back to this mysterious person. He says, I don't think I've ever seen you around town before. And on the day after Christmas, sitting all by yourself, would you mind having any company?
I would love company.
Dad, or Grandpa, you freaked her out.
You know, I can still hear you guys, right? And I'm only freaked out just because, like, I'm not from here.
Oh, we know. You're totally Wigan.
KT, like, elbows Sydney.
I like,
stop. KT slides into the booth across from you, pulling Sydney forcefully down beside him, and smiles and puts his cup of Earl Grey on the linoleum table, and he goes, well... Welcome to Obsidian Lake. My name is KT, and this here's my granddaughter, Sydney. Now you know somebody.
Now I know someone. Nice to meet you guys. You seem really nice. I was worried I wasn't going to get a warm welcome, I guess.
Oh, well, that makes me darn sad to hear that. We're pretty hospitable around here, I would say. So don't you? Actually, never mind. Don't ask Sydney. She's in a foul mood.
Hey!
Am I wrong?
I am relatively chipper.
Get dunk dunk.
That means she's in a bad mood.
I will from now on, I need to write this down. Now on, genuinely think chipper means bad mood.
Like, okay, that's just a mistranslation from the history text.
What is this character's shot?
Plus one.
Excellent.
I needed it to be negative two.
I was also hoping for a negative one.
No, because I know enough about the 80s, but I'm like 80s because we're in like 83 right now.
Yeah.
I'm 80s in like
adjacent.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just like, I'm enough that like I can fit in. They're like, oh, I guess you're from here, but just odd enough that you're like,
Like it's kind of weird.
I'm trying to think of a character in a show that would describe my aesthetic, and I can't think of one.
Oh my gosh. So he kind of smiles and looks down at his Earl Grey tea and then smiles back up at you, Corona, and he says, you know, it's a good thing that we have a new face around here. My granddaughter could use some other girlfriends hanging out around this place. I'm sorry. Did I
don't mean to be rude. This is not what I'm trying to do, but I'm go by Nathan. I'm not really.
My mistake. I should not have assumed. Is that your car out in the parking lot, by the way? Is it a rental?
Yeah, it's a rental.
Oof. Well, swing on by Marty's Gas and Service Station, and they will help you get a good ride. They have amazing connections all across the valley, so definitely head that way. How long are you planning on... Are you sticking around, or are you just here on vacation?
Jeez, Grandpa, give third degree.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be hospitable and make sure that they get to their correct connections.
I wanted to know that there is a real pause in my character's voice, trying to make it sound like she's there for something, but also fit and throw an 80 sling. I am here for a radical job.
And that would be...
It is a secret.
Their radical job is a secret, Grandpa. So you can't interrogate them.
Well, at least it's not anything up with the mine. I don't think I keep anything secret around here, to be quite honest.
I think both of them just kind of look at you like, we don't have secrets, it's a small town. So, like, we're kind of thrown off. Like, I know my neighbor does her dirty laundry on, like, Wednesday afternoons.
I'm not sure where you think
like,
you can work
the
in the
two
town,
of us though. Are just so thrown off. Like,
I just, like, I don't even secret? Know. Because I think I know enough about my prophecy to know I'm back here to stop something particular, and like something, but I'm not sure I know the details. When I say, like, I probably genuinely don't know my job.
Okay,
is.
You are.
So in response to that, so KG kind of has this moment where he's thinking, he's like, secret, what's something, what's stuff going? Mom, and he slams his hands down on the table, he goes, you must be the new DJ going to work with Raina!
I am!
Oh my god, you're gonna love them! They are the sweetest... I love Raina. I love her mom. Best friends. We've been knowing each other since high school. Oh, tell me more. Tell me all about this new program you're starring. You should also meet Henry. Henry runs the night radio. Sydney, what the hell? What is his show called? You're never awake at that. Actually, you're always awake at that time. What is it called? What does he do?
Under the Veil.
I would like to order breakfast now, if that's something.
I
accidentally went full grandpa for real.
I felt it in my soul. I felt the switch between, like...
Sydney just kind of, like, looks
that's
over...
That's not being a character.
...at KP, and it's just, like...
Jackie just, like, existing as a grandpa for a second. That was cool.
I'm so glad. So, perfectly timed. The youngest of the Santamingas boys comes up to the table, Michael, who is 16, who is a good friend of yours from high school. Mm-hmm. He swoops in with his very rad hairdo. He is very proud of his hair. He has a nice feathered back.
Beautiful dark brown
curls. Awesome.
It's a mullet. In combination, it is not a mullet. Yeah. It is a feathered.
Stop trying to kill things.
It is beautiful.
So I'm in love with Michael, basically.
Easily. So Michael is the perfect... Similar hairstyle, yes. Yeah. So Michael is the perfect mix of his parents, Elias and Carmen. And he has this brilliant white smile like his dad, but he has the darker complexion and bright blue eyes.
Sydney's definitely in love with him.
That his mom has. So he leans over and he goes, you're chipper today, aren't you?
She just kind of blushes and sinks down, and she's like, I'm not.
Yes, she is very chipper. I would not talk to her.
And Sydney's like, looks betrayed at this stranger. And she's like, gee, thanks. Maybe I would be, you know, less chipper if I had some food and I wasn't woken up at, you know, the crack of dawn on a Saturday after Christmas and I'm hungry. And she just kind of, like, looks at Michael desperately, kind of like, please help me.
He kind of laughs and he pours you another cup of coffee. And he says, your crepes are already coming. Did you want cheese on your hash browns or no?
I can't laugh and crochet at the same time.
No cheese. He looks back over his shoulder. Louise! His voice breaks because he's 16. And his brother yells back from the kitchen, what?
I was
wrong. No cheese! Michael smiles back at you one more time. No cheese. And then he looks at this new person and he goes, You came last night. You're at the bed and breakfast. Hold on, I got it. Let me think.
He doesn't have it. Help him.
It's Karen.
I told you he didn't have it.
I'm actually kind of offended by that. That is not my name in any way, shape, or form. Please do never, ever call me Karen again.
No,
my name is.
No.
You can call me KP or Mick.
And Mike kind of looks a little offensive because he's like, I'm so sorry.
Sydney just kind of clears her throat and she's like, who's Chipper now?
And he looks at you sideways.
Damn, get him.
He looks at you sideways like, I'm going to put fucking cheese on your hash browns now.
I dare you.
And
I know your mom.
Lactose intolerance.
And he kind of like baffled, he looks back at you, Corona, and he's like, I'm so sorry. Your name was...
It was Corona.
Corona.
Most people call me KP or Mick. I'm sorry. That was a slight overreaction. I get you don't know the implications of calling me a Karen, but thank you. Just please call me KP or Mick from now on.
And he kind of blinks, and he writes like a little note, like KP, on his little diner notebook.
Not Karen and Big
Not Lander. Karen. He's like, tell the brothers, not Karen.
And fall in the masks.
Like, he's like, I don't understand. But he's like, okay, not Karen, KP. What can I get you for breakfast?
What does KP like to eat? That's a great question.
Parts of carrots.
Is there like a common breakfast dish that's not invented in the 80s yet, or are we pretty
probably
much...
like
you could ask for like
you're like Mad Max timeline.
Could I just have a grub?
Yeah, they wouldn't have acai bowls.
So I'm like, can I get an acai bowl?
Wow.
And he kind of pauses, and he's like, do you mean our Anasazi breakfast bowl?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any allergies? Because we had a lot of cayenne pepper in with that.
Nah, the spicier the better.
He scratches down on his notebook, spicier the better. Gotcha. All right, anything else? Do you need a refill on your drink or anything? Mr. KT, do you need anything? Nah, I'm good. Just bring out... I'm feeling an extra crepe today. You got it, dude. And he looks back at you. Anything else to drink?
If you could just top off my coffee and then also bring me a glass of water, that'd be fantastic. Really radical.
And he kind of smiles and he's like, radical. And he pours you another cup of coffee and goes back. And you hear an array of Caribbean dialect coming out of the back. And... you can hear shit.
Sydney just wishes she was in the kitchen so bad.
You hear Luis be like, what the fuck? Why Karen? Why is she mad? They wrote Luis and like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. That's what's going on in the back. So, anything else that you would like to accomplish in this scene?
No.
I have known these three brothers for less than an hour now, and I would give my entire soul for them.
The Santamingas brothers are some of my favorite people. Everybody in this town is my favorite people. That's all I have to say.
Good fucking town crafting, because every character you've introduced so far, I'm like, that's the one. That's the NPC I bind myself to.
Can she ghost hunt with the brothers? Sure. Can they just be like all friends?
I think that would be
hell
beautiful.
Yes.
I have not met Jay yet.
That's
the 21
fair.
Year old, right?
I was
okay.
Like,
what
or are you
like?
Like a conspiracy theorist in training?
No, she doesn't do conspiracy. She's very stubborn and skeptical of everything, but also like ghosts, and they exist, and I will find them.
The others are like, there's this weird comic shop guy who might know
she's
more about
really
this.
Really suspicious of you for sure.
Yeah,
because of the way you talk.
I mean, you do listen to his fucking radio show, and you're like, it's kind of weird how he, like, sticks to the 1920s bit so hard.
So, to answer your question about what Jay looks like, all of the brothers, you can tell that they are very, very much Dominican and Cuban. Like, that is their ethnic background. Mom is Cuban, dad is Dominican. And,
Wait, I do have one more thing. Can we go back to the diner scene?
Yes.
I have one more thing to point out
yes.
to introduce. Oh, wait, are we getting around to the leaving history part? Because I want to insert the...
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
before
yeah,
we
yeah.
before we continue, we can pause and talk about the weaving history if you guys want to really
yes.
fast. So let's do
oh,
it.
Yeah.
I was so excited.
It will give
I
me so many more prompts.
Okay, so we're going to cut the diner scene there, and then let's talk about the weaving history for all of y'all.
Okay.
So.
Jet, you can start.
So my weaving history is that Kelly's character, Sydney, is my great-great-great-grandmother on my maternal side, so therefore our last names didn't pass down.
Mm-hmm.
They should have. But yeah, that's my weed history bit.
Granddaughter of Sydney. That makes your guys' interaction so much funnier.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Do you have any other... Is she the only person you're going to have history with so far?
I think so, because I don't see a reason why I would know someone clear back even farther from the 1920s or a conspiracy theorist.
Perfect. I think that works really, really well.
I forgot you could do that. Like, not everyone has... That works a lot, actually.
So that means that you three would most likely have quite a bit of crossing history, because you have all been, like, lifelong residents, literally, of
Obsidian. I knew your granddaddy so... back in the day.
She's like, you're being weird, Henry. You're being weird.
I'm just saying. No one could put up houses like he does. Did.
Thank you. Thank you. So Sydney is like, I'll do like my history now really quick. So Jet's obviously my great, great, great granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. It would just be great, great granddaughter.
Two greats.
Yeah.
My double great granddaughter.
2040.
Yeah. Yeah, so if Kelly is
born
a teenager 2041,
born in 2020.
So Sydney would technically be the age of our parents now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
Great-granddaughter.
My brain is like, but that's at least seven generations. I'm like, not everyone has kids at 20.
Would 2040 be two greats then? More timeline-wise, or would it be three?
Whoa,
it would be... Technically, you would only be your grandma.
Yeah, I was about to say, because our parents, and then it's like if we have
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so she would technically...
Oh, so grandma. She's just grandma. Aww.
Aww.
We like that even more. Okay, so let me adjust that in the mix.
Okay, so just grandma. I love this.
Which is funny, because you got to meet, technically, your great-grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's badass.
Or great-great-grandpa. So KT is your great-great-grandpa.
No, he's just my great-grandpa.
Mm-mm. Great-great.
Because he's your
great grandpa.
Yeah, okay. Amanda, her mom, would be your great-grandma.
Cool.
Okay.
She's a groupie. Don't look up to her.
Definitely look up to her.
I love that so
How
much.
Dare you. Groupies are the backbones of the musical industry.
They are.
Okay,
so then Sydney's her grandma doesn't know it. Right now, she just thinks that she's sus, but also kind of cool. Henry is, like, on her paranormal list. Like, Sydney, when she has free time, just, like, asks him very invasive questions about his life and is like, so, Titanic.
Titanic.
Really seen it?
Tragedy.
And she has, like, schematics. And then she just goes back to the three brothers and she's like, he's for sure something. I don't know what, but he's for sure something.
That fucker is definitely a werewolf. Didn't you, like... Throw, why did I say werewolf? Vampire is werewolf.
She's tried, okay, so she's a ghost hunter, right?
Right.
She's tried every single thing in the book for everything else except, like, actual ghost radar because she can see him.
Uh-huh.
And so she doesn't know he's a ghost and thinks he's something else.
I love that.
So she's
I
been ghost hunting
this whole
time. You definitely
got him pasta one time. You're like, here's some pasta, garlic noodles. And he's like, oh, awesome, thanks. And you're like, eat them now.
Yeah. And you
wouldn't,
it's like,
you're
super...
She's leading on like vampire / something else, like something completely way off.
I think that's so funny. I love that so much. Okay, so now tell me about your history with Bill.
So Bill is comic shop owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't really go in there a lot, but sometimes she'll see Bill on the street or like go places with KT that like Bill is there.
Mm-hmm.
And like she'll give Bill like knowing looks. Because she kind of believes him, but she's also like...
Like, I can't be associated with you.
Yeah, I'm like, they'll know.
No,
I'm
no
a hunter.
No,
no one
for
can
sure
know.
Also, like, understands the look. Like, child.
She's like, you're sort
training.
Of a mentor, but no one can know.
I will train you.
She's the one that goes to Bill when she's desperate. Like, when she has nothing
I
left.
I also would like to be the dungeon master for the boys.
I fucking
D&D
love
is
that.
A fairly recent thing in 1984.
Yeah. Well, and you are only...
So I think they are the middleman
so
for, like, your information.
Yeah. The boys go to you, and I go to my grandpa.
And then when shit hits the fan, you're like, okay.
And she knows everyone in town as well as her grandpa does, but she likes to pretend that, like, she just hates everyone.
I think Bill has also tried similar... Bill knows you're not a person, dude.
Okay.
I think Bill has you nailed as a ghost. He's just trying to figure out how old you are.
Because when you're on the radio station, sometimes the waves freak out.
Sometimes the audio.
That
gets
would be so good, EVP on the radio.
Everyone's like, okay, so that's a weird little audio editing thing you did when your voice went like that. And Henry's like, yeah, I just have that really good equipment from like some people in Hollywood.
Bill has you as a ghost, but he thinks you died in like the 50s and you're doing the 1920s bit as a bit to throw people off.
It's like it's way more.
It's way more difficult than it needs to be.
So Sydney's clueless. Thinks they hear something else where she's ghost hunting
but
this entire town.
Nailed as a ghost.
Like,
guaranteed.
That's your exactly off. And they, we just look at each other like, you know? Because I know. And then neither of us know.
You know, because I know. Oh, I definitely know. And Henry's just a few feet behind them, and you're like, neither of them know.
Neither of them know.
Neither of them are going to know. How would they know? How would they know?
How would they know?
I think one time he reaches out to shake your hands.
And he, okay.
You can tell technically touch things because you work for the fire.
Yeah, here's the thing. The way I read it is he can control the incorporealness. Mm-hmm. So basically he can't, like, he's just oddly cold sometimes, and he's like, sorry, poor circulation.
That's definitely why she thinks you're a vampire.
But this dude is a geologist, so he has, like, a white salt ring and, like, different kinds of quartz that resonate to different shit. So as you touch, you get, like,
zing.
Joy buzz.
I'm like, oh, static. Gotta love it when sparks fly.
I love that. Like, I love that so much.
Bill's like, sure, dude. For sure.
Well, I'm off. I have a late shift tonight.
Yeah,
tune into the radio station.
I know how you are working graves.
Wow, Bill. Wow.
He definitely, like, he, like, shakes his head and he's like, oh my god. Don't laugh, because if you laugh, he'll think you're friends.
Hey, man. Don't work yourself to death.
It's less funny the 27th time, Bill. Have a good one. Or wait, no.
You're a ghost.
Bill, no, I saw this on the fucking list. He's like, better days and better lays, Bill. Better days and better lays. So, I get no collection to KP because, no. So, with the tied together history, Garrett and him have, like, constantly been like, I know you're a ghost. I'm not a ghost. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just kind of the running...
Weird rivals.
And, yeah. And he's like, yeah, go down to the comic shop. They have a good sale today on shit. And some really good shit. They have... not shit. I need to change my vocabulary.
He's from 1940. That's not... Did fly on the radio.
He's like, they have an amazing stock of supplies.
Supplies.
And other things. But you can probably find what you want. Talk to Bill. If you can stand it.
I love that.
Okay, and then what? How do you want to portray your history
with Kelly? So he met the grandpa when he was kind of a new ghost. The grandpa knows.
So
the grandpa,
obviously the grandpa.
The grandpa
knows.
Like
KT totally knows.
Henry Smith walked up, and the grandpa's like, "How long have you been dead for?" And he's like, It's been a rough couple of weeks. But,
just attack me,
like, because I mean, so the Bridgeburn family was one of the. So for some quick town history, just so you know about some of these NPCs. So the Bridgeburns, the Clays, and the Hughes are three of, like, the original families that, like, established Obsidian Lake.
Mm-hmm.
All from primarily Irish and Welsh, like, backgrounds. And so they have a lot of history here. So that's part of the reason why KT knows everybody is, like, he literally knows everybody. Mm-hmm. His whole family has always known everybody. And plus, I mean... He owns, his whole family has always owned the silver mine. So, like, his roots run deep.
Hell yeah. But, no, so he knew right off the bat, and they became very close friends. And Henry was like, okay, this family line, like, is that why I'm still here?
Mm-hmm.
It's to protect them, is what he's decided.
I'd like to play with some flavor here.
Okay.
Let me know your thoughts. So, KT... is KT's 68, which means he would have been in his 20s when you came to Obsidian Lake in the beginning. So my question for you is, did whatever happened to make you the monstrous happen before or after you came to Obsidian Lake?
It happened before.
Okay, perfect. So then let's
Did you give your history already? Oh, yeah, between us. Yeah, we did. Okay.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to jump back. And would either Bill or Henry like to be the next scene?
I'm
We already kind good of with... had a little bit more of a scene with Joan's.
Because I talked okay. Henry talked to Jody, so okay. You can have a scene, friend.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
It's now 12:45 and the shop's open. Just barely. Oh no.
It closes at 5.
Yeah.
Five, no, it's probably open stupidly late too.
Okay, so you're in the shop just hanging out then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Bill's just kind of hanging out in the shop. Do you have the radio on at all?
Yeah, it's probably on low.
Okay, so the music is playing out of the KOLS radio station. Raina is doing their thing, their normal time of day set. And in walks one of your well-known customers, and I would say probably decently friends. You guys grew up together. Ambrose Tanaka comes in with his son, Kai, because it's a Saturday after Christmas. And Kai is obsessed with making sure that you are only getting in Star Wars Star Wars merch and not Star Trek. This is the most aggressive 8-year-old with a hate for Star Trek. So he comes in like running past his dad. So Tanaka opens the door and Kai just comes like busting in. And this is like the most stylish 8-year-old ever. Kai is very particular about the way he dresses.
Awesome. I love Kai.
Right.
And he comes running up to what does your counter look like?
The counter is like a glass display of like several sets of dice.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like lots of quartz and like trilobite fossils, and it's just like a display counter.
Okay, and tell me more about your shop. Like, what does the interior of Looks Nice Comics and Rocks look like?
The interior is like towards the back of, so there's like shelves for the comics, and that's like the middle of the shop, and then towards the walls are where like the rocks are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's comics, there's also like war game miniatures, there's like rule books for weird board games, there's like a couple of basic board games like on one of the shelves between the rocks. But yeah, it's pretty...
That's what it looks like?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So Kai comes running in past his dad and he like slams his hands, and Kai is actually very short.
Mm-hmm.
He like slams his hands on the countertop, but I'm assuming like Bill's kind of a tall dude.
Bill is what if Shaggy and Tommy Chong fused together.
I love that. I love that so much. Describe Bill more for me. Like, what does he look like? I'm gonna have you do this
because I'm gonna ask. Very long and a little bit narrow. He is typically wearing like a really ratty button down that is mostly open. with like a band's graphic tee underneath it.
Uh-huh.
It's probably Zeppelin today.
Uh-huh.
He's been favoring Zeppelin recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just like torn to shit jeans.
Uh-huh.
He goes out and collects rocks at night because he has insomnia. So all of his jeans are just torn to shit from crawling in the volcanic rock around Obsidian Lake.
I love that so much.
He does have very nice boots, though. He meticulously maintains his very good leather boots.
Excellent leather boots. Gotcha. Okay, so we see the scene. Kai comes bursting through this door with his dad, Ambrose, walking relatively slow behind him. This is a pretty normal thing, because anytime Kai sees something in the Sears catalog, he assumes that it is already in Looks Nice. He is always wrong.
For sure.
But he is always convinced because he thinks you are the coolest person in the world. And what's funny about this is that he thinks his dad is the lamest person in the world.
No!
But he loves his dad. But the reason he thinks this is because he loves the fact that you own this awesome comic and rock shop. But his dad is also a metallurgist up at the mine.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And so, like, super geology influence, like, his entire life. But he thinks, for whatever reason, you are just the coolest person. Mostly because of the fact that you have all of the merch that he could ever ask for, even if it's not brand new.
Yeah, Nadatha gets to play with toys.
Yeah. So Kai comes and, like, slams his hands down on the counter, and he goes, Bill!
Happy Boxing Day, little dude. What's up?
Bill, did you see the Sears catalog?
No.
Did you see it?
I have not.
Did you see the posters?
My guy, I have not seen Mr. Robux's catalog in some time. You're going to need to tell me what poster it is.
Bill, my dude, you know, like, you're, how do you, I'll let you pass on this one.
I got, talking about that real good Kirk one, right?
Yes. Did you see how ugly it looks? Did you see it? They're nasty. Star Trekkers. What the, Trekkies? I have no respect. But let me tell you what. I think someday the lightsabers that they're going to come out with are going to be incredible.
Oh, for sure.
And he looks back at his dad. He's like, am I right, Dad? And Ambrose is like flipping through the comics. He's like, uh-huh. And Kai turns back to you and he says, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here strictly on business.
Of course.
You need to get your hands on the new Sears catalog. And I need you to get me 5. And he looks at his hands as he raised up 4 fingers. And he goes, 5, fixing the number. And he goes, I need all 5. 5, Bill. A number after 4. Between 3 year, 3 6. After me.
Half of 10. I'm with you.
I need all 5 of the new Star Wars t-shirts.
One handful of Star Wars t-shirts.
One? Okay, well, my hands are small, so I'm going to have 2 hands of Star Wars t-shirts. But yes, the thought is the same. And Ambrose kind of looks back and he's like, this is literally all he has been talking about since the catalog came out 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you could have them shipped in?
I could figure something out. Yeah.
Good, because this is all I asked for Christmas, and my dad didn't get it for me, and instead he decided he was going to get me a frame for the posters that I already have. But that's not what I wanted. I wanted the t-shirts. 5 t-shirts. How am I supposed to go back to school after school? And Ambrose comes up, and he puts a shoulder, like his hand, on his son's shoulder, and he says, Kai, calm down. And Kai kind of takes a breath, and he's like, Mr. Bill Diggins, can I please have 5 new Star Wars t-shirts.
Kai, my
please.
Dude, you have my solemn oath as a dude with a geology degree that I will get you these shirts and sell them to you at both a fair price and in mint condition.
And Kai smiles. He smiles this just giant, giant smile, and his like eyebrows kind of like go up into like towards his hairline, which is very stylishly flipped, and like all his face is just covered in these dark brown freckles like his dad. And he reaches up and he like puts like a fist up in the air to like give you nuts, and he goes, Geo Bros.
Geo Bros!
Oh my god, this child!
He immediately returns the nuts to Geo
Bros. Geo Bros. And he looks back at his dad and he goes, okay, I'm ready to go see Aunt Raina now. And Ambrose just kind of looks at this kid. And the thing about Ambrose is he's a single dad. He's been raising this kid. And he's just like, let's go see Raina. Okay. But what happens instead is that right as the Tanakas are getting ready to leave your shop, mm-hmm. Raina comes running down the street.
Okay. As soon as I see Raina running, I turn the radio on.
And you hear the emergency clip that comes through the radio waves. And it is the same clip that is played 3 times in the last 3 months that everybody in town has been dreading. There's been an accident at the mines. And at that time, we hear the fire department's sirens go off.